Well, please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Let's hear the word of God. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Well, this morning we looked at probably the Bible's most famous verse, John 3:16. And so this evening I've decided to look at what is probably the Bible's most famous psalm. Psalm 23. It's a psalm that is known by many, even by those who aren't Christians. And it's a psalm that is loved by many, and you can see why, can't you? It's a psalm that's often read at funerals because of the comfort that it provides, the hope that it gives. It's a beautifully simple psalm. And it's a psalm that is beautiful in its simplicity. It's a psalm that touches upon the deepest human emotions, such as trust, confidence, distress, darkness, peace and hope and joy. It touches upon some of these deep human emotions, and it does so in six short verses. And really the first words of this psalm sum up its message. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. That is the sum and substance of this psalm. And really the rest of the psalm is an explication, an expounding upon this key truth that the Lord is my shepherd. And isn't that a wonderfully personal note on which David starts this psalm? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is the one who cares for me. The Lord is the one who looks after me. David was, of course, a shepherd boy. He knew what it was like to care for a flock of sheep. He knew the hard work that was involved in being a shepherd boy, the toil and the trouble and the danger and the frustration. Sheep are needy creatures. They are creatures that often get into trouble. Sheep need to be shepherded. They need to be looked after. They rely upon a shepherd for their lives. And in this beautiful psalm, David draws upon his own experience as a shepherd boy and pictures the Lord as his shepherd, as the ultimate, the most glorious shepherd of the sheep. And of course, by extension, David is saying that the Lord is the shepherd of all of his people. He's not just my shepherd, though there is this wonderful personal tone in this psalm. He's teaching that the Lord is the shepherd of his people, and therefore we can appropriate this psalm. And as the Lord's people, we can, each one of us, say, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord shepherds me day by day. The Lord sees that we are like sheep, that we often go astray, that we get into trouble, that we face danger. He sees us in our need like sheep, and he comes alongside of us, and he leads us as our most glorious shepherd. Friends, throughout the course of your life, from the cradle to the grave, the Lord is your shepherd. There is not one moment of one single day in your entire life when the Lord ceases to be your shepherd. He shepherds you wherever you are, whatever you are going through. And we see three things in particular in this psalm about the way in which the Lord shepherds us and cares for us. First of all, we see that the Lord is the shepherd who provides. He's the shepherd who provides for his people. That's drawn out particularly in the opening three verses. What is it David says there? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. In other words, I shall lack nothing. I shall lack no good thing. I know that the Lord will provide for me. I know that the Lord will provide for his people. As a sheep of the shepherd, we can be absolutely confident that the Lord will provide for us. And just look at what the Lord does provide for us. He provides us with many things, but there are three particular things, I think, that David draws out for us in this psalm. First of all, the Lord as our shepherd provides us with peace. He provides us with peace. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. It's a wonderful image, isn't it, of someone who is at peace, someone who is at rest, who is safe and at peace. God's sheep lie down. They lie down in green pastures and they are led beside still waters. It's a wonderful image of God leading his people in the ways of peace. God himself being the sanctuary of his people in whom we rest and find refuge. Do you ever get panic stricken? Do you ever find that the troubles of this world are overwhelming and they're weighing you down? I'm sure you do, we all do. But there's a sense in which we have no need to be overwhelmed by trouble. There's a sense in which we have no need to be stricken by panic because the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord gives us peace in turmoil. He gives us rest and refuge in danger. But secondly, notice that the Lord provides us with salvation. That's what David is getting at when he says that he restores my soul. There's a strong note here of salvation, of rescue, of restoration. When like a wandering sheep, David is saying, I go astray, the Lord will bring me back. He will not lose me. Even if one of his 100 sheep go astray, he will leave the 99 behind and go in search of that one who has gone astray. The Lord will forgive me, in other words, strong spiritual note here of salvation. He will forgive me. He will restore me. He will cleanse me. He will renew and refresh me. He will help and encourage me. That is what is captured in this idea of the Lord as the shepherd of his sheep, restoring the souls of his people. He rescues us. He upholds us. He brings us back into the fold when we wander and go astray. And you can know that because the Lord is your shepherd, he will not lose you. Do not ever fear that you will be lost to the Lord. Shepherds, if they are any good, do not lose their sheep. And there is no greater shepherd than the Lord. There is nothing that you can do that can make the Lord lose you or give up on you. He is the shepherd who is there to restore your soul. When you've wandered, when you've fallen, when you've sinned that sin yet again, you can go to the Lord who is your shepherd and know restoration and recovery and rejuvenation, fresh forgiveness, glorious cleansing. It's available with your shepherd. And then thirdly, notice that he provides direction. He provides peace, he provides salvation, and he provides direction. That's what David says, isn't it? He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He takes us along the right path of life. He shows to us how we lead good and full and rich and righteous lives. He's not someone who simply restores our soul and then leaves us to get on with it until we fall again and then he picks us up. No, he's the one who restores us and then shows us the way to live. That's what good shepherds do. There was a time a few years ago when I was out with a friend walking in the Lake District and we came across a flock of sheep being led by the shepherd, I suppose. And they were being moved from one part of the land to another part. And bringing up the rear was the sheepdog. And he was ensuring that the sheep weren't straying too far to the right or too far to the left. And if they did stray too much, then he would go round and bring them back into line until they're all in the right place, the area that they were supposed to be in. And that's what the Lord does with us as well. He leads us along these paths of righteousness through his word. This is the way that he does lead us and guide us and show us how we are to live. We have the riches of his word here, directing us, showing us the way to go, so that we might enjoy full and good and God-pleasing, Christ-honoring lives. He hasn't left us to wander about in the dark. He's not that kind of shepherd. He's given us the light of his words. And one thing that's very much in the background here, which I think is easily missed, is that David isn't simply drawing upon his own personal experience, although he is, no doubt. He's actually reflecting upon the history of the people of Israel. And that's where he's drawing his confidence from. Do you remember how the Lord provided for the people of old, for the Israelites? He provided them with peace, didn't he? He gave them rest from their enemies surrounding them. And he provided them with salvation. He rescued them from slavery in Egypt. And he provided them with direction. He led them through the wilderness into the land of promise. David is looking back on the history of his people, the Israelites. And he is seeing how the Lord has shepherded them in history. He is reflecting upon all of the ways in which the Lord has provided for his people. And he is saying he continues to be that same shepherd. He continues to provide for his people, for me and for you. That is why David is so confident, because he's seen God in history. He's heard about his great deeds in the past. And he's saying the Lord remains the same. He continues to be the shepherd of his people. He shepherded his people in the past and he continues to do so now. That is why I can be so confident that I shall not want, that I shall lack no good thing, that God will make me to lie down in green pastures, that he will lead me beside still waters, that he will restore my soul and lead me along paths of righteousness, because he's the God who's done that in the past and God does not change. And you know what? You can be even more confident this evening that that Lord continues to be the shepherd of his sheep. David looked back on the great acts that God did with his covenant people, Israel, in the past. And where do we look to see how the Lord has provided peace for us and salvation for us and direction for us? We look to the cross, don't we? We look to the true Israel, the glorious Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how he through his death and his resurrection, has provided us with peace. Peace with God, peace with one another, peace in the midst of a troubled and war-torn world. Peace, salvation, and direction. You can wake up tomorrow morning and say, the Lord will provide for me, because he's already provided richly for my greatest need. How will he not then also provide from all of my other needs? The Lord is the shepherd who provides. Secondly, he is the shepherd who protects. That's what we see in verse 4. Let me read that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I think you can perhaps imagine David wandering through literal valleys back in Palestine. And perhaps he's been leading his flock of sheep and the sun has begun to set and darkness is descending, and maybe one sheep does go astray and gets slightly lost and maybe starts to panic and wonder where his master is. But then he hears his master calling out his name, and he knows that he's safe. He knows that he will not suffer any harm. And David sees in that a reflection of his own experience. Times when he has walked through the valley of the shadow of death. Times when he was surrounded by the nighttime of evil. When he was lost and vulnerable. When he was gripped by fear. When it felt as if even death was encroaching upon him. Think of the troubles that David experienced throughout his life. It must have seemed as if he really was going through the valley of the shadow of death. As if death was gripping him with its destructive claws. And he had no light and could see no hope. And I'm sure that that would have been the testimony of Israel too. Again, that is in the background as they wandered through the wilderness. Maybe at times wondering where God was, what he was doing. Confused and bewildered and afraid. Going through those deep and dark valleys. And isn't it the case that that is so often our experience too? Just like the people of old and just like David himself, we too, don't we, go through deep and dark valleys, the valley of the shadow of death, in any number of ways, when all about us is dark. And sometimes we don't even want to get up in the morning and don't want to face the day because it's just too hard. We just want to curl up in a ball. In many ways, it feels like our lives are often like living deaths. In some ways, we would rather be dead, if we're honest with ourselves, than carry on living. It can be like that sometimes, can't it? But notice what it is that David says when he goes through the valley of the shadow of death. He doesn't give up. He doesn't lose hope. What is it he says? I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. I'm afraid, he's saying. I'm afraid. But I'm not going to let the shadow of death overwhelm me. I'm not going to let the shadow of death get the better of me. Did you notice that? David doesn't say, I fear no evil. He's not a stoic. He doesn't pretend that he's not afraid. He says, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. He's resolved in his mind and in his heart not to be overwhelmed by the valley of the shadow of death. How is it that David gets this resolve? Where does it come from? We're told, aren't we? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David knew that the Lord was with him, even in the valley of the shadow of death. Even when he didn't feel his presence at all. I'm sure this valley that David experienced maybe at several points in his life left him feeling bereft. Where is the Lord? I don't feel his presence. But David, like a good Christian, like a good believer in the Lord, doesn't live by his feelings. He lives by faith. He knows that even in the darkest valleys, the Lord is with him. We were just talking about that this afternoon, how the psalmists often express deep anguish of soul and sadness and sorrow. But there's virtually in every single psalm this note of hope that comes through. And it comes through because their faith is, to use a word that I think John Murray invented, extrospective. In other words, it's a faith that looks out, it doesn't look in. And they don't live by their feelings. Yes, their feelings affect them, of course they do. But they don't live by, according to their feelings. They're not controlled ultimately by their feelings. They're controlled by their faith in God. They're controlled by the God in whom they have faith. And that is why David is able to say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's a bit like a little child. I don't know if sometimes you children wake up in the middle of the night and everything's very dark, and you might have this sudden moment of panic, wondering, where is everyone? Where are my mummy and my daddy? I used to sometimes get that feeling when I woke up. Maybe each one of us has been through that at times. And you have this moment of panic, where is everyone? But then you hear the voices of your parents coming from downstairs. And you experience, you feel that relief, don't you? Knowing that you're not on your own. Your parents are there. And that's exactly what it's like with God. He is there to protect us. He's there with us, even in the darkest nights of the soul. He is our shepherd who does not leave us alone. The one who comforts us with his rod and his staff. My understanding is that those Palestinian shepherds would carry a rod to beat off wild beasts and a staff to control their sheep. And David employs that imagery to communicate the fact that the Lord protects us from all these external enemies, and he comforts us as he leads us on through dark valleys. You need to know this evening, my brothers and sisters, that you are safe. You are absolutely safe in the Lord's hands. No harm can befall you that will sever you from the Lord's protective hands. And remember that he is the one who leads you through these dark valleys. He leads us in paths of righteousness, and often those paths of righteousness consist in the valley of the shadow of death. But even in the valley of the shadow of death, you're absolutely safe. Your shepherd is fighting off those external enemies, and he's leading you on, comforting you all the way. The Lord is the shepherd who provides for us and who protects us. And then finally, he is the Lord who prospers us. He is the shepherd who prospers us. That's what we see in verses 5 and 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here we have a picture of rich blessing, don't we? These are Old Testament images of abundant, rich blessing. A table and oil and an overflowing cup, which is a picture of a full and rich and abundant life. That's what we have here. And David is saying that with the Lord as his shepherd, even in the presence of enemies, he prospers. He prospers. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That even when all is against him, when enemies surround him, when he's going through dark valleys, he says, I prosper. I prosper. The Lord prepares a table for me. He anoints my head with oil. It's a picture of anointing, of rich, kind of priestly blessing. My cup overflows. Even in the face of our enemies. Enemies of death, of sin, of Satan, even in the face of those enemies, our arch enemies, we prosper. This is the wonderful thing, one of the wonderful things about the gospel, about the goodness, the sheer grace and goodness of the Lord and of belonging to him. It's that we don't just get through our dark valleys, although that's true. We just sometimes have to fight on and get through them, and it's a wonderful thing to get through them. But the truth is even greater. We prosper in them. We prosper in our dark valleys. We know the Lord preparing a table for us, anointing our heads with oil so that our cup overflows. We are actually enriched in and through our dark valleys. Maybe some of you this evening are going through dark valleys. The Lord is prospering you. It might not feel like that. But he is, in ways as yet perhaps unseen. He prospers you spiritually. I think it's often in those dark valleys that the Lord deepens us in our commitment to him and our knowledge of him. It's in those dark valleys that he makes us men and women of God. We cease to be young children in the Lord, don't we? It's in those dark valleys that we grow up into full maturity. How is it that we know that the Lord will prosper and bless us richly, abundantly, throughout all of our days? David tells us, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. We may at times feel as if we are surrounded by enemies. Maybe very real enemies, physical enemies, or maybe just a real sense of the devil attacking us. We may be surrounded by enemies, but much more than that, we are surrounded by the goodness and the mercy of God. We may be pursued by enemies, but much more than that, we are pursued by the goodness and the mercy of God. We may be weighed down by our enemies, but much more than that, we are lifted up by the goodness and the mercy of God. Wherever you turn, God is there in his goodness and mercy. They never depart from you. You cannot escape from the goodness and the mercy of God. It's impossible. It's impossible for you, his people, the sheep of his pasture, it's impossible for you to escape from the goodness and the mercy of the Lord, your shepherd. Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. You know how sometimes you might go out for a walk in this country and very often it's grey and dreary. Dark clouds hang overhead, but then all of a sudden the sun breaks through. And its rays shine with a certain heavenly force almost upon you, and you cannot escape from the rays of the sun. Wherever you turn, wherever you look, the sun's glorious rays shine upon you, and it's the same with God. Even when the dark clouds hang over you, the rays of his sunshine, so to speak, shine upon you. You cannot escape from the goodness and the mercy of God. And of course, it gets even better, doesn't it? It's not just that goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life in this world, but they take you into the next. They take you into the next. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The house of the Lord. The temple was, of course, the house of the Lord during David's time, where God, as it were, especially presenced himself and resided. And of course, the church is the new covenant temple. And what are these things? What was the temple? What is the church? They are outposts of the heavenly sanctuary. Outposts of the heavenly sanctuary. There is something deeply heavenly about the church. The church consists of the citizens of heaven. And so when David says here, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, he's speaking in the spirit of that heavenly abode, where he shall experience in full the goodness and the mercy of the Lord, where there shall no more be dark clouds and deep valleys. They shall no longer exist. That is where David and all of God's people end up. The rich blessings that God gives to us now will be consummated. They will come to fruition then. The Lord is your shepherd. You can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Every day of your life, the Lord is your shepherd. And of course, who is that shepherd? Who is that great shepherd of the sheep? We know, don't we? John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I think there's some, if I can put it this way, some modest understatement in what Jesus says there. He's not just the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. Jesus is the great shepherd of his sheep. And he is the one who laid down his life for the sheep. That's what good shepherds, what great shepherds do. They lay down their life in order to save and protect their sheep. Because they love them so much. Because they care for them so much. And as we close, that is where the true beauty of this psalm lies. This psalm is beautiful because it assures us and comforts us, doesn't it? It assures us that the Lord, as our shepherd, will provide for us in so many ways. It assures us that the Lord will always protect us through life's deepest, darkest valleys. He will protect us. It assures us that the Lord will prosper us, even in the depths and ultimately in the heights of heaven. It assures us of these things, and that's what makes it so beautiful. But even more than that, the true beauty of this psalm lies in the fact that it tells us about the one who is our shepherd. This psalm is all about Jesus Christ, who is the great shepherd, who is the one who provides, who is the one who protects, who is the one who prospers us, and who's guaranteed that to us by laying down his life for you. Jesus Christ, he is your shepherd. He's your perfect shepherd. So go into the world this week and remind yourself every day, the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus Christ is my glorious shepherd. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you from the depths of our hearts that you are our shepherd. And we thank you that with you we shall not want. You shall provide for us, you shall protect us, you shall prosper us in every way. We thank you, Lord, that you are the great shepherd of your sheep, that you laid down your life for us. And we thank you that you are leading us home to our heavenly, holy sanctuary. We give you our praise in your name. Amen.